I think that was a great idea to have that break. All right, so you're on the conditions?
Yes, and I wondered just prior to that, having had the benefit of the Woodfield submission this morning, I can also, perhaps after we have a look at the conditions, or before, if you have any other questions about that area in particular, because I have had the benefit of visiting the property and taking photographs from that.
I was going to ask a few questions about that. We may as well do it now. I was having a look back at Dr. Charles' evidence from yesterday, which you may or may not have with you.
Jacob's going to help me out.
So if you can turn to page 19 of that evidence. Yes, so figure 5 in particular. Yes. I just wonder if there's some, well, if there's a slight inconsistency that we're seeing here a bit between this figure from Dr. Childs talks about a noise wall, and it's quite clear from what the Woodfields have demonstrated, they're on the impression there'll be a noise wall as well. But hearing you just before, you were talking about it being a bund.
Mm.
So just keen to understand exactly what is proposed for noise treatment along that area.
Is an earth bund, and I did note that the Woodfields in their summary statement this morning talked about the hill. And so and the point made there that they were took some comfort. That's the right word, from the fact that the proposed recreation path would not be on the top of the hill. So I think it's a terminology point. They understand that it is a hill, and what they have attempted to do, I see in their photographs, is look at the height of whatever will be in that location. So they've done to the best of their ability, you know, gone out through 30 metres from their property boundary and tried to calibrate what a 3 metre high something would be in that environment, and then using the tools that they've had, it's ended up being a vertical impression of that. But also in my conversations with Mr. Charles, and he's been aware of my evidence and also of all the documentations, the drawings and the indicative landscape plan, what is proposed along that edge is a bund, not a wall, and it won't combine, does not need to combine a vertical wall and an earth bund as it does on Sanctus Road. It just needs to be an earth bund.
I think Miss Arthur Young and Miss Bell, looking at nomenclature is going to be very important, because I also then look at the other plans provided by Dr. Childs, which talks about noise walls as well. Should this notice be confirmed, the implementation is incredibly important, obviously, and being clear about exactly what is proposed. That was the one thing I wanted to clarify with you, Ms. Rimmer, but if you wanted to talk to us further about the Woodfields information from this morning, that would be helpful.
I think the first thing would be to obviously acknowledge their submission and also, once again, the generosity that they extended to us twice, because for some reason somebody deleted the photographs. I had to go back to their property on two occasions and letting us into their home. And I met one of their sons, Joel, who was very interested in my camera. So, yeah, just to acknowledge that. They're in the set of context photographs, which I understand the panel has received, but we have issues with two-page spreads on the PDF.
What viewpoint are you looking at?
So viewpoint 7 is from their lower deck. And, sorry, figure 7 is from their lower deck, page 16. And then there's also a view from the upper deck, page 18. So you can see the perspective's shifted somewhat between those two pages and the Tararua Ranges. You get to see more of them in the figure 8. So if I look at the first figure, 7, which is from the lower deck, which is of primary concern, I guess there's a couple of points there in terms of when we produce photo simulations, having that vertical and horizontal field of view to more accurately mimic what your eye sees, and also to have that reading distance. So in terms of the proposed earth bund, the location of that, and looking at the photographs that the Woodfields provided, there's a couple of comments there. I think that they've generally located it, you know, they've done their best to step out 30 metres or so from the property boundary and to show that, but what they have shown is a vertical structure rather than a slope structure. So the earth bund would have a slope of 1 and 3. It would rise to the top level of 3 metres, but it wouldn't appear as a vertical structure. And it could be grassed or it could be planted in low planting. So flax, for example, would be appropriate fitting within that river terrace typology. They are right. We haven't produced photo simulations from this area for good reason, because we didn't have that model and we didn't want to, in this area in particular, that there is elements in the distance that we wouldn't be able to show that would then make those photo simulations either over or understate the effects, so be less useful than along the Sexters Road, where you essentially got that simple bund in the wall, and then the number of elements that you see behind it would be far less. But we were asked to do that, and we've been very clear that we didn't simulate the elements behind the bund. They are correct in saying that there will be some foreshortening of their view in terms of the matter's elements behind that, and that could well include the railway line that their son appreciate in elements of, you know, the trees and then some aspects of the Tararua ranges. That's my conservative view, which you'd obviously need to test through that photo simulation process, but that is also why I've indicated that there could be high adverse visual amenity effects. Moving the, if it was possible in terms of noise mitigation, to move the bund further away from their property, that would reduce those adverse effects. And the reason for that is to do with that field of view, which extends as an arc out from your eye. So if something's further away, it blocks less of distant view. So it's just like if you have a tree right here in front of you, you don't get to see the sky, but if that same tree height is located at a distance, you get to see, you know, it doesn't obscure as much. There'll be things to work through in that regard, because we've also indicated that we like the potential to integrate the off-road recreational trail, which needs to be on the, here we go, first one, on the east of the bund. So then, you know, where does that in relation to the perimeter road and so forth, but notionally any movement further from their property will be beneficial in that regard of distant views, but there will be some foreshortening of elements that are lower than their property. I also just like to point out that spend a lot of time and money and highly specialised people that talk about things that I understand and working practice but don't do in terms of photo simulations. They're very technical in terms of getting them right and that they actually mimic what your eye would see, and it's very difficult for people to do that, a layperson to do that, so the Woodfields have done their best. But I do notice that, for example, in their submission on figure 2, where they've shown the view from the TV room and then a view of it with proposed wall, that it's quite obvious that second view to the right is zoomed in. So you can see two couches on the left and you can only see one couch on the right. So it isn't, we are very clear that when we have an existing view, so what's there now, then the proposed view is exactly the same. And that's very important in terms of understanding the effects to do that. If you start to zoom in the photograph, it will overemphasize the elements in the view. They have also not been able to sort of represent a photograph that has that both horizontal and vertical field of view. So anything that is in a photograph that doesn't have those factors will appear more dominant than what it is in reality.
It seems to me, though, that if, for example, you had an expansion of an industrial zone, you're managing interface, the level of landscape treatment would be less than is available with a site of this scale and activity. In other words, what you're seeing at that interface is a much higher level of, I guess, landscaping than you might find is mandated in the northeast industrial zone. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, one of the, by being able to essentially master plan this whole area and accumulate or agglomerate the required mitigation to the edges of the development in a cohesive way, then you are able to establish planting areas of much greater weight and depth and consequence. That's my opinion. So if there are areas of the site that are all zoned industrial, so they could be, well, one could speculate how they would be developed, but it could be that the mitigation required for each of those would be internalised by the next. So it wouldn't be appreciated by the community around it. So that area, if we look at the depth of mitigation between the edge of the designation and the perimeter, you can see that's quite substantial. It'd be 200 metres, just knowing that the depth of knowing that this is 100 metres.
It's 150 to the right, isn't it?
So it's more than that in that regard. So when we spoke with Glenn and Karen Woodfield, they had, you know, made us aware of how important it is for their son to have views of the train. And we said, well, in terms of detailed design, we'll be looking at options that need to be consistent and provide noise mitigation. So that's the fundamental. But as I said, grass along that bund wouldn't necessarily be an issue. But I would like to see some planting, naturalised planting throughout that area, but the need for it to be more substantial and high, I think, is reduced because the perimeter road is cut down below that area. So it could be essentially Harakeke and Te Kōka and, you know, sort of things of a lower stature that would fit within the overall naturalised approach, but also reduce the way in which it screens distant views. And as I said, I think there's a key opportunity to improve that gateway experience into Bunnythorpe there as a result of that approach.
Just before we move on from Maple Street, Ms. Rimmer, I do have one question. And that's picking up on what you were saying about if you move the noise bund further away from Mr. and Mrs. Woodfield's property, obviously it becomes less dominant in the field of vision from the ground floor in particular. But what I'm interested in is the comment Mr. Woodfield made around if it's close to the house being able to look over it. And it's whether that's a valid expectation, I guess is the first part of my question. And then the second part is if the noise bund is moved further away, do you think they might be able to see over the top from their upper floor living areas? I don't expect you to have an absolute answer without having done your assessments, but just in your experience, do you think that might be an outcome?
So it was referenced to figure eight, which is the view from their upper deck. If the bund was moved further, if the bund was closer to them, yes, they would be able to look over the top of it, for sure. And because of the land there is relatively flat, and what is it? They'd be a good 5 metres above the ground in their second story. So yeah, they'll be looking over the top of the bund. And if it was moved further away, you know, they would appreciate it a bit more, but I don't, just from a desktop or initial analysis point of view, agree that it would block substantial amounts of their view in that they are elevated, you know, 5 metres, whereas the wall is still at 3 metres, or the noise barrier is at 3 metres. So I think that the effects from this top story, or the second story of their property, would not be markedly, at this stage, without having done that detailed analysis, would not be markedly different should the bund be close or far away.
So potentially there is an opportunity, subject to, I think, liaising very closely with Mr. and Mrs. Woodfield, that the noise bund could be located in such a way that creates a balance between making sure they have the noise protection that they need, but also maximising their ability to retain views that are also potentially very important to their family.
Yes, yes. And I think I've stated that in my initial assessment report and in my evidence as well, that this is a key area of focus for developed design to balance those matters.
Thank you.
And ensure that. So in terms of the conditions, the first point, I just wanted to answer the question with regards to integration of the noise mitigation design. So that relates to 56H, which is on page 20. So in terms of the development of the landscape and design plan, these are the key matters that it will be required to address. And that's the location of the noise mitigation structures. So that's meaning buns and walls. So perhaps that could be clarified.
I think of a structure as something built of materials rather than a...
Yes, yeah. So just to avoid misconception that the bund is a structure, but it is not made out of wood or concrete. As outlined, and Elizabeth, sorry, are you... All right.
Yep.
So, and I mean, I have in my multitude of notes here said okay through these, so I agree with those amendments.
That's H1 to 3.
Yes. So they are also linked usefully, I think, to the operational noise and vibration plan, so there's, you know, good cross-referencing there. And it talks about the final form, finish, and planting of these structures, which, yeah, so just reiterating that includes the earth buns. So that then talks about the planting on or adjacent to vertical noise barriers and buns with a minimum planted depth of 5 metres from the external face. So that doesn't happen in the proposed plan in very many circumstances. As I walk through the indicative landscape plan, the only area really that happens is at the southern extent of the designation, where it gets very constrained, and the planting is only able to be 5 metres in depth in this location. But generally, there's far more than that.
Just before you move on from that, I was interested in what you were saying before about the potential for treatment of some of the noise walls in particular.
Mm.
I've again got a bit of background with some of Waka Kotahi's work that they've done, and I wonder how much that opportunity and the opportunity for the community to be potentially involved is reflected in these recommended conditions as well.
Mm. Yes, I will track back to 10E and J, which is a whole new condition that the council have recommended, and one of the key matters, I think, in that regard is bringing some of that through into the landscape and design plan condition, which makes it far more explicit, that opportunity for community and mana whenua involvement in design. I mean, it once again might suffer from engineering design speak in terms of the final form and finish. So what that can also mean is not just whether it's smooth concrete or exposed aggregate, but actually the opportunity for design in more an artful way or an expressive identity way.
Having worked with many engineers, I think being explicit would be something to consider.
Yes, good. And then the second, I guess, would also...
Oh, sorry.
Another question?
Fellow.
Sorry, who's it? No, let's... Well, we'll, yeah. Sorry. And then I think it's inherent in two also that the details of how the noise mitigation structures, or, you know, or barriers, walls and bunds, have been designed to avoid, remedy and mitigate the adverse effects on landscape character and visual amenity. Well, that term character is pointed in that it needs to, you know, speak to that environment, so what might be appropriate in another environment. It's not necessarily, you know, it won't be here. So, for example, clear noise walls, which occur on the edge of a highway, wouldn't be seen as appropriate here. So that's a tie into landscape character. Okay, so I'm just going to address in general the condition 53 to 56A with reference to the council recommended changes. And then come back to 10E and 10J on the design framework. So in my opinion, the suggested edits to the landscape and design plan conditions are able to be integrated, excluding the requirement for a separate design framework, and I'll address that shortly. These edits can obviously be advanced, will need to be advanced with advice from the planning team, including how the majority of the suggested principles and outcomes as set out in condition 10J could be integrated. And my first thoughts are, but I'll take advice obviously, I'll work with this with Ms. Bell, is that an appropriate position for that would be at 56A3. So with respect to the suggested council changes to the landscape and design plan condition 56E, so that's where, that's on page 20. I would make the following comments. So 56E1 refers to land outside the current designation. So it refers to this land in here of an undetermined boundary, which I have in my evidence recommended should be considered in terms of its ability to provide further mitigation for adverse effects on natural landscape. However, it's my understanding that this point cannot be conditioned because it's outside of the designation, but just on that point, I have assessed moderate to high adverse effects on the natural landscape. So I am looking, you know, I have then recommended where some of those effects could be mitigated in detailed design. And I see that area as being appropriate from a number of perspectives because it is in the flood-prone hazard area in the district plan, so it would lend itself to the naturalised wetland, river, plain planting approach, and it has within it existing tributaries. So if there was in the future an opportunity to, with agreement with property owners, as can occur and other projects outside of designations, to plant that area, it would help, in my opinion, mitigate for some of those adverse effects and also have additional natural character positive effects. But as in terms of a condition, I know that that's not a matter to be, my understanding is not a matter to be conditioned. 56E3 talks about creating an impression of open space, characteristic of rural character when viewed from outside the designation. I have mentioned this before, but in my opinion, this would be at odds with effective mitigation measures. The development is for a large-scale freight hub set within naturalised areas of planting. Adverse effects would be increased by trying to prioritise or mimic rural openness within the development. Then 56A is big A, which is on page 21.
Well, the point there is that in some cases that will be achieved, such as on the western edges, and other areas it won't be, but it requires a mix of responses. Sometimes mitigation will be an emphasis given proximity to residential properties. In other cases, openness will be appropriate because of the character on that other fringe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, there is openness in the plan there, and it's internalised mainly to the site, but I'm just concerned that a general condition to prioritise that tends to suggest that you would do that to the edges, which is not appropriate.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So 56A includes recommendations for a number of prescriptive plant heights, which may not be appropriate in some circumstances. For example, along Sanctus Road, where 10-metre high trees may impact views on the western sky or to the east of Maple Street, where this could further block views of the Tararuas. So final plant heights will be a key matter of interest for the community and opportunity to integrate feedback through the liaison forum. 56A little e makes reference to a minimum planting depths noted in my evidence, which I recognise were unclear. So as I have walked through on the plan, the planting depths proposed along Sanctus Road are typically no less than 20 metres, narrowing to 17 at the intersection with Roberts Line, and are no less than 5 metres at the southern extent of the designation. The planting depths proposed along the extent of the perimeter road to the east of that are no less than 30 metres. And then there's a bit of a pinch point just at the intersection, you know, the corner of the distribution buildings there, but that is 15 metres rather than 8 metres. The 8 metres is what is on the roadside of the noise mitigation wall in that location. The officers recommended additional conditions 10E to J, so I'll just go back to those now.
What page are they? Right. Thank you.
So the officers recommend in 10E to J to develop a design framework within 1 year of the NOR being confirmed. And I consider that the matters addressed in these conditions relating to design, construction and operation principles and outcomes are largely covered in the landscape and design plan condition, although, as noted above, this could be strengthened by integrating most of the council officers' suggestions, so bringing these suggestions or the clauses from 10E to J through into the landscape and design plan.
I'm struggling to